First Peter, chapter 5. Let's read together verses 5, 6, and 7. Verse 6 and 7 will be our focal point this morning. Beginning in verse 5, Peter writes to his audience, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care." And I want you to notice in your Bibles there, if you have anxiety, it's singular. If you have care, it's singular. If you have concern, it's singular. Not talking about all your individual cares, not talking about all your individual concerns. We're not talking about all your individual worries. We're talking about something on a much deeper level. It is singular there. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares, he's concerned for you." Over the month of June, we talked a lot about humility. This morning it's looking like, oh no, Brother Luke's not done talking about humility, because here we go again. We're going to use it to transition, but humility is an important part. In fact, it is the cornerstone of the truth of casting all your care upon Jesus. If you can't humble yourself, I can tell you why you have anxieties. If you can't humble yourself before the Lord, I can tell you why you have worries. And some people are going to try to make them out to be, "But you don't know what I'm going through. It's so much worse than people understand." No, you don't know how good my God is. I'm going to go ahead and offend you right now. You got great worries. I got a greater God. And that's what we need. But it begins with humility. And I know we probably get tired of hearing about that. Brother Luke, you're just going to make us feel like we're nothing. No, you can have great power and be a humble person. You can have great wisdom and be a humble person. Would you agree with me? Jesus is the greatest man that ever lived, had greater power than anybody else before or after, and yet he was humble. He humbled himself into obedience, even the death of the cross. So humility doesn't mean you're weak. Humility doesn't mean you're brainless. Humility, could we say it this way, is power under submission. Power under submission. Reading verse 5, the first part of the verse is not my focus, but though we could preach a long time on this, young people need to submit to the elder. I get so tired of hearing people say, "It's time for the young people to run the church. It's time for young people to run the country." No, it isn't. I'll give you a shiny nickel. Brother John made sure I got two of them. Give you a shiny nickel if you can show me a scripture verse that says once a person gets older, they're supposed to retire, resign, sit back, and let everybody else do everything. Give you a shiny nickel. The older people, the grayer hair, maybe even the hunched over forms are the ones the younger generation is supposed to look to for wisdom in how they lead. Don't tell me I need to preach that to us. No, that's the way it's supposed to be. The older people are the anchor. The older people have the wisdom and the knowledge. The older people, gray hair is supposed to mean you're smarter than you were at 17 when you thought you knew it all. There's a hard crowd here, Brother John. None of y'all acted like y'all knew it all when you were 17, right? Y'all were all obedient. You did everything your parents wanted you to do. No. Being old means you've got scars. You've got wrinkles. You've got the bruises and the bumps to show where you didn't listen to somebody older when they said, "If I were you, I wouldn't do that." And you're going to take it over. Well, the problem is there's a lack of humility in that kind of speaking, and that is the transition. And the last part of verse 5, though, is what we want to key in on. Notice this, God resists the proud. It's a blanket statement. A proud person, God is going to resist. He's going to give grace to the humble. If you were to look in Isaiah 14, and I'm not going to turn to it there, but in Isaiah 14, we find out the downfall of Satan. I will lift myself up. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will, I will. And the Lord says, you are brought down low. Pride was his struggle. That was his preeminent problem. Still is. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. And I know none of us in here have pride, and so I'm just speaking off into the ether. But we need to make sure we focus on that last part. God resists the proud. You want to have an instant foe? You want to have an instant enemy? Stand before God and tell Him what you can. Tell Him what you will. Tell Him how you think, like Job wanted to. You want grace, you want mercy, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. You'll find yourself no longer making statements like this. God, I don't think this is right. As to things going on in your life. God, I think a mistake has been made down here. Well, yeah, there's mistakes made, but it ain't on His part. It's this end down here. We make the mistakes, but there is no mistake on His part. God gives grace to the humble, and I don't know about you. I would like more grace. And we sing about it. He giveth and giveth and giveth more grace. Right? We would like more grace. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before Him. Verse 6, though, is where we're going to slow down just a little bit now, headed to where we're going this, in fact, this entire month. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You need to know this about our God. He has prevailing power. What do I mean by prevailing power? I don't care how much you push back against Him, He is always going to be stronger. He will always overcome whatever you push against Him with. Can always remember as little kids, you'd hear the adults joke about this. They may be getting older and they may be getting stronger, but I'm always going to be wiser. And it seemed like the parent always knew how to stay just one step ahead of us younger people. Didn't matter what you thought you could do, didn't matter what you thought you knew, they always managed to be just that one step ahead. Now, our earthly parents did have limited knowledge. They did have limited power. But notice what Peter says. You're going to humble yourselves and submit to the mighty power, the mighty hand of God, the God who created all that we see. Last night, sitting down, getting ready to do fireworks, watching towards the west, Venus begins to shine just as brightly as it does in the night sky. Long time ago, I'm a young earther. Less than 10,000 years ago, God created Venus. And every year, you go out and you can find it like clockwork, because God gave the stars, the moon, the planets, the galaxies. He gave them rhythm. He gave them specificity. You will be here at this time, and then He holds it in place. You can't even control what's going to happen this afternoon, because you can get in your vehicle, the battery goes dead, and your afternoon is... And that's all it takes, is a dead battery. Or you can lose your glasses. I'd be blind. You ever been out working in your yard, cleaning up after a hurricane, you fling a limb, and your glasses go with it? How do you find your glasses when you... You're blind without them, and yet they flung off in the depth of pine limbs and pine needles, and I still have a pair somewhere on the side of my hill. I don't know where they are in there. I keep hoping that maybe an armadillo will come walking out with them kind of on, and that way at least I know where they went. I know the general area, but something simple like that is all it takes to make our day turn topsy-turvy. God's power is not like that. He is always prevailing. He is never under the gun. Our God is strong. Our God is wise. We say He is omnipotent. He is all strength. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's also omnipresent. We're limited to where we can be at one time. I'm trying to be in two places at one time, but I'm struggling there a little bit. God's everywhere present. Thus, Jesus is able to say, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And by His Spirit, He is with every single one of us. I mean, think about that. People are going through tough stuff. Would you only want Jesus limited to where they are? No, I want Him helping me through my stuff as well. Our God has a mighty hand. He is a powerful, unrivaled God. And He tells us here that He may exalt you in due time. You're going to humble yourself to Him so that when the time is appropriate, not according to your watch, not according to your calendar, but on His timing, when it is due time, when it is appropriate time, the time appointed, He will exalt you. We talked about that in one of our previous things. When you bid into a party, don't choose the high chair. Because if you choose the high chair, the guy that's throwing the party may come and tell you, go and sit lower. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Oh, man, that'd be really embarrassing. Instead, start low, and that way you got a way to work up. God will exalt you in due time. Again, are you patient enough to wait on His mighty hand? I know sometimes we're like, God, you're late. God, you should have been here yesterday. You know, I hate it when somebody said you should have been on the lake yesterday. Do you not think if I could have been, that's where I'd have been? They frame it like that. You should have been. No, I was where I was supposed to be, because if I should have been there, where would I have been? I'd have been where God wanted me to be. But sometimes we say that about God. He should have been here. He should have showed up. He should have done what I wanted Him to do. He shouldn't have let this happen. God shouldn't have allowed these people to do these things. That's a lot of words. That's not humility. The idea of humbling yourself before God is that He may lift you up and listen. If you don't hear anything else, you can resist Him. Eventually, He's going to overcome you. It may be before His great white throne judgment, and it may be too late for you, but you can understand this. When He says your name, and if you don't trust Jesus, and He casts you into the lake of fire, you have no ability, you have no recourse, you will have no opportunity to overthrow His mighty power. You're done. Creator created. That's, again, I've told y'all before, that's why I'm not worried about artificial intelligence. I don't like what my computer's doing. Unplug it. And not once has it ever reached down to slap my hand. All right. Y'all been fed this nonsense by Hollywood. Oh, it gets so smart that if you go to unplug it, it shocks you. No, I don't like what the computer's doing. I simply unplug it. I make it do what I'm doing because it's not the creator. It's created. It serves me. I don't serve it. Your car, does it serve you or do you serve it? Your stove, does it serve you or do you serve it? If it stops serving you, what do? You either fix it or you junk it and you get one that will serve you, right? Hey, y'all know that. Guns, fishing poles, golf clubs, tools. The moment it quits doing what it's designed to do, you've got authority over it. You get rid of it. Now, our God is not just tossing things left and right like we do in the trash can. One of two places. You either spend eternity with Him or you'll spend eternity apart from Him. But either place, He's got authority over. And that's what we need to make sure. We understand. If I don't humble myself before Him now, eventually I will, but it will be too late. Are y'all still with me, or have I chased you off already? If you can't handle that, you ain't gonna like verse 7. Here we go. Casting all your care upon Him. Let's start with all. How much is all? Your mom comes in and tells you to clean up all your room. Does she mean just the bookshelf? Does she mean just the stuff on top of the bed? What? Floor to ceiling. Randy understood what all meant. Everything in there. What you have on your ceiling, bro? We'll talk about that later. I'm curious about this. She made you clean. All your care. You aren't so special that you have an exception to this rule. You need to hear this. You aren't an exception to all. But you don't know what I'm facing, Brother Luke. All. If this is man's word and that's all it is, why are you here? But if this is God's word and that's what it is and God's truth, understand all your care. You try to carve something out and keep it to yourself, you're going to worry. You're going to fret. You're going to have high blood pressure. You're going to be on pins and needles. You're always going to be upset and concerned about everything because you haven't given it all up. You learn to give it all up. All your care, singular, and your life's going to change. It's going to revolutionize how you live. You're not going to argue with people. You're not going to fuss and rant and rave about them. You aren't. Let's unpack this. Casting. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing, if I can say it this way, it's something you're going to make an intelligent, cognizant response to the sun coming up. I am giving the Lord my care. Paul says, I die daily. And so if I'm crucified with Christ, and he says, I die daily, you get saved, but you continually submit to him every day, right? I mean, if you're adopted this attitude, well, I got saved back then, I'm doing what I want now, you ain't saved. That's not... Saved is ongoing. I have an initial date of where I know I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but every day I'm being saved and walking in light of His truth and submitting myself to Him. Casting all your care on Him. Listen, some of y'all want an easy fix here, and it is an easy fix, but it's a daily. I wish it was a take a pill one time and you're forever done with it. I mean, if it doesn't make sense, but go with me. If I could give you a pill one time, never have to exercise again, never be overweight again, how great would that be? Wouldn't be so good for me. I'd run out of customers. Think about it. A one-time fix and I'd run out of customers. Now, on this end, spiritually speaking, though, here's the issue. You see, you're not like a one pill just changes everything. Every day, your mind is engaged in a battle. And it's even a battlefield. You're either wrestling against principalities, spiritual powers, wickedness and darkness in high places. You might be wrestling with yourself. You might be wrestling with the Holy Spirit. You might be wrestling against other people. But there's always something going on, something challenging you. And your goal is going to be every day to submit all of that under the mighty hand of God. That's easy said. Counselors would not be needed if it was easily done. I mean, like the one pill. If it was easily done, give everybody a pill. Everybody's nobody overweight. Everybody let blood pressure down. Everybody diabetes gone away. Everybody's happy hunky. Doctors, man, we'd have a glut of doctors and we wouldn't need them anymore, would we? Ted kind of like, man, I wish I had a one pill for some of my patients, but well, let's go ahead and massage that. Are you one of those that thinks, well, I'm taking blood pressure medicine, I can eat all the salt I want? Well, I'm taking blood pressure, I can get as angry as I want? Or maybe you're taking diabetes medicine and you think, well, I can eat all the cake and ice cream I want. And unfortunately, The reason why I'm taking this shot so I can eat all the brownies I want. No, that's not why you're taking the medicine. But that's how we act. That's how we behave. It really doesn't make sense. But daily, unlike a pill that you hoping is just going to change you, you will make a conscious choice to cast all, no matter what it is, all your care, not on me. Not on me. Not on your spouse. Not on your kids. Not on your parents. Not on your grandparents. On Him. On the Lord. Now, earlier, what did Peter say? He's got a what kind of hand? Oh. Look, it's right there. Y'all got the memory of a goldfish? He's got a mighty hand. He's got prevailing power. That's who you're humbling yourself. That's who you're casting your care upon at that moment. The mighty hand of God. What's He capable of? He can do anything. He can make a sea split open and the ground be dry so that the people can walk on. And then when the enemy comes in behind them, He can make the ground become muddy. Their chariot wheels get stuck, and then He reaches over and begins to thump off. And it says specifically that He knocked off their wheels. So they're stuck in the mud, their wheels are falling off, and then He closed the water over the top of them. Didn't lose any of His people, consumed Pharaoh's army, including Pharaoh himself. Give bread every morning. Give quail in the evening. Water? Got a rock that followed them all throughout the wilderness, according to Paul. What is there too hard for our God? You're going to cast all your care upon the one that has mighty power, the one that has a mighty arm. And I hope you're beginning to understand this, because if you have a care, you're admitting something about yourself that you don't like to admit. If you have an anxiety, if you have a worry, there's this great big problem. I don't have power over something. Therein lies the issue. That which I do not have power over scares me. That which I cannot control scares me. People that do not do what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it scare me. Oh, yeah, it does. You look at me like, yeah, it does. Because then we're not in control. And we don't have the power that we think we have. And by the way, that's even a worse realization. We think we got power. Something happens that reveals I don't. And all of a sudden, I'm waking up to the fact that I ain't got any power in this situation. Everybody else has got more power than I got. Now, I'm really freaking out because my brain can't handle this. I'm not in control. We don't want to admit that. Oh, I got it. Somebody, how you doing? Oh, I got it. It might have you by the throat, but I can promise you this, you ain't got it. Therein lies the issue. We overestimate our ability and we underestimate His. And it should be the complete reverse. If anything, you should overestimate God and you should underestimate you. If anything, if we're going to flip the reverse, you should underestimate your ability because then it will keep you humble. People that don't think they can will usually ask somebody else how to. I'm grateful for YouTube for that. How do I change the belt on my dryer? You might even be fortunate enough, somebody's got your exact make and model. Man, you can sit there watching. He's like, you're going to find all these screws but one. And it's going to make you pull your hair out until you look right around this corner and you got to reach in there and feel it, but it's there. And all of a sudden you're like, I'll be doggone. That little thing right there. See, you had to find somebody who knew because you didn't. And that one little bolt can make you angry. Some of the guys know what I'm talking about. Probably even maybe some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. When you can't find that one little thing, boy, it's a burr in your saddle. It's like a rock in the bottom of your shoe. I don't care how tiny that little rock is. It's there. And we get mad at some of the most silly things. Me too. Trying to put that dryer back together, and it just keeps flopping and flopping. You just haul off and kick it like that's going to help. Okay, well, we can sit here and meddle if we want to. You've been cranking on that lawnmower, and it won't fire for nothing, and so you take it and you just try to swing it. You're probably going to pull a groin, or you're going to ruin what opportunity you did have. But we do that. And the problem is, it's not doing what we want it to do. And we're forced to admit, I'm powerless in these circumstances and situations. And that's where we need to be. Because if I recognize I can't, I need somebody who can. And Peter has laid out, our God has a mighty hand. He has prevailing power. And if I can't, then I can submit myself to Him. And it makes sense that I would submit myself to one who has that ability. Isn't that what education is supposed to be about? I go to the English grammarian's classroom because they know the difference between a conjunction and a simile. And there ain't no likeliness between the both of them. They have greater knowledge. They teach you that knowledge. You learn it so that you can be a more effective communicator. Some of you plant workers, can you imagine taking a guy just out of high school, never run a milling machine before in his life, and just turning him loose on it? No, you wouldn't do that any more than you'd take a kid, you'd take JD, put him behind the wheel of a car without having given him some lessons how to drive. Now, I'm convinced that's how some people have done it. It's obvious from the way that they're driving, somebody with better skills did not teach them. So it means if you ride with my wife and you wonder about her skills, it was my fault. I tried to teach her how to drive. In my 1970 Ford pickup with a stick shift on the column, and I'm hanging outside the driver's door. She's in the driver's seat, and I'm trying to steer this thing. And it's a wonder we even made it through that stage. Was that? Oh, it's memories. It's funny now. You can go to Texas Motor Speedway and you can drive a race car, a NASCAR. But they ain't going to let just any Tom, Dick, and Harry get there. They're going to take you through a classroom. They're going to make sure you, first off, know how to drive a stick shift. Because if you can't drive a stick shift, I don't think they're going to let you behind the wheel. Now, when I did it, they put a guy in front of you in a car and I had to follow him. He's got all the wisdom. He knows how to drive these cars, and so he's the little lights in the back tell me to speed up, slow down, hang with it. You know, we're going to go faster, whatever. Because if you turn Luke loose, hey, here's an NASCAR, Luke, go do it. I can tell you what I'm going to be doing. Where's the floor? And that's where the pedal needs to be. Stay high on the track and hope it all comes out good. It's not quite that simple. I mean, it may seem like that to somebody who's got a lot of skill in that area, but for a lot of people, that's going to be a challenge. They got the roads banked really good. Physics is supposed to hold you to it. Supposed to, provided you have gained some wisdom from those that know how. We look for somebody that can train us. If I wanted to learn how to pick locks, I would go see Brother Jeff. Jeff, pour your lock knowledge into me. Does that mean something's bad about me? No, I go to somebody who knows because I what? I don't. I call a locksmith to open my car because I can't. I have a dentist work on a filling because I can't. It's not that I won't. If I could figure out how to get the tool in there and see everything and do it myself, I would do it myself, but I can't. You follow what I'm talking about? We don't like asking people for help, though, usually, because we feel embarrassed. What are they going to think about me if I ask for help? What would the church think if I stood up and asked for prayer because I'm going through something really tough? Ideally, the church would say, finally, somebody who follows the word. Isn't that what James says? You got great problems, bring it to the church and have the men pray over you and anoint you at all. And you go, yeah, exactly. But we don't want to be seen as weak. We don't want people to think we don't know everything we know.
Sometimes it's because we think they might be incompetent at their job.
Actually, I'm more focused on the fact that we're going to think that they think we're incompetent. How many of y'all can recognize incompetence in other people? Yeah, you can. That's why you complain about drivers on the road. How many of you know about your own weaknesses? A few honest people. Everybody's like, no, I drive perfect. Stellar record. Right? You got a record. And the words of your parents were warning you, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. Oh, no, they ain't going to get me. I know where they hide. Trying to get a little too far away here. I can enjoy this, though. Our anxiety is over things that we don't have any power over. Something as simple as going on a canoe trip on the Wiskichitta. Now, there's two kinds of people. Those that are absolutely oblivious. And I was reading some comments yesterday on the page. There are some people, did you know that they actually bail out after the first half mile? They had no clue what they were getting into. And some people are thinking, what were they getting into? It's just a canoe. It's just paddles. It's just a Wiskichitta. But they had people that bail out after the first half mile. It blew my mind. Now, here I am. I've been down it quite a few times, fished down it. But I'm thinking before we go, you know, need off because I can't control mosquitoes. Might need some Band-Aids. You might need some headache medicine. You might better bring some suntan lotion, which I forgot. Well, actually, I had planned, but my plans didn't go through like the way I thought they was because somebody else didn't plan well, but that's not my fault. But what about the water? Is it low or high? I ain't got any authority over that. You realize if you get there and you're going to canoe and the water's high and rushing, you're at the whim of the water, right? Or if you get there and it's low and you got to drag your canoe for 8 miles of a 7 mile trip, then you realize I ain't got authority over the water there either. There are things in life that we just don't have authority over. It's just out of our control. And so we sit there and we try to plan, but the problem is they become anxieties because we wish we had control, and we don't like to say there are things outside of my ability, there are things outside of my power, there are things outside my knowledge base. There are just some things I don't know because I can't know it all and I can't do it all like he can, and that bothers us. You know, should a grammarian be equally as proficient in physics? No, I don't think so. Hey, imagine how much schooling you'd have to go through if you had to be proficient in everything just to be able to teach English. No, what we admit is every one of us has areas of what we call expertise, things with which we do excel at. But even then, sometimes we get thrown a left turn or a curveball comes across the plate that we weren't expecting because we think we know it all and something shows up and like, bro, this is rough. I don't know what to do here. And we hope to find somebody else that can, or we may just keep it silent and say, hope nobody notices. That works really good at the plant when they hope nobody notices. Just throw some duct tape on it, nobody will care. It shows up later. By the way, duct tape doesn't work on marriages either. It doesn't. You don't duct tape relationships. It just doesn't work. Serious. How much of our energies and frustrations involve us trying to gain or regain power over settings, situations, or circumstances. We're throwing ourselves into it simply to regain the lead position. That way, it looks like I've got power. It looks like I've got control. It looks like I'm in charge. And correct me if I'm wrong. Some of these things lead to existential crises. That's why people go see counselors, because they think they're what they thought they could, they can't, and now they're doubting who they are, what they've been taught. They're doubting even their own existence. Or maybe you've thought before, I don't even know why I was ever born. That's what I'm talking about. Humility is a hard, hard lesson to learn, because it means I've got to abase me. I've got to humble me. I've got to be able to approach the point where I say, it's okay if somebody's better than me at most things. It's okay. Now, whatever God has entrusted me with, I need to be a good steward of, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be better at everything. And I've got to be okay with that. Because if you can't handle it with people, how are you going to handle it with God? But you get it right with God, and then it's going to be a problem with people. You ain't got to prove anything to anybody. All I got to do is be faithful to Him. It doesn't matter if they're bigger. It doesn't matter if they're faster. It doesn't matter if they're stronger. It doesn't matter if they're smarter. It doesn't matter if they have more money. It doesn't matter whatever. If I'm faithful to God, that's what's most important. Because God will lift me up. He will exalt me in due time, provided I have cast all of that care, that inward thinking that I've got to be in charge, I have cast it on Him. I need to move forward. I don't really want to, and I don't want to make this a two-part. We need to stay here for another hour. But I need to move forward. Peter has told us, and you agreed with me, I see it in the passage, that God has a mighty hand, that He is the mighty, powerful, all-prevailing. I am told to cast all my care, singular, that initial thought that makes me think that I'm in charge of anything, cast my care upon Him. The next phrase is unique. He cares. He's concerned about you. And there are people that have problem with that. What do you mean He's thinking about me? Nobody else thinks about me. Nobody else knows my name. Who's He? Why would He be any different? Doesn't change what He says. And John 3:16 stays the same, whether you got a mental block on it or not. For God so loved the world. He did. And you might be struggling looking at it saying, how in the world can He love that person? Did you see what they did? He's got a love for them. Because it doesn't matter what you feel or think. It's simply what God's Word says. It's what God's truth tells us and what God says that He loves us. Here, He cares for you. Well, if He cares for me, then why did this turn out like this? For two reasons. Number one, you made a mistake. You sinned against God. It's on you. But number two, that's not humbling yourself before God. Because God may invite you out of the boat. You may step onto that water and you may get your eyes off Jesus and you may begin to sink. And He called you there knowing you would struggle so that you would learn to trust Him. The book of Deuteronomy gives us the insight for this, where God tells His people that He led them into the wilderness. And we know what the wilderness means. Dry, barren land. You're going to get thirsty. Going to be a lack of food. God says, I led you there to teach you to rely on me. That you would learn that man doesn't live only by bread, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And from the mouth of the Lord, Peter tells us this: He cares for you. You think you can care more for you than God can care for you? And the answer is going to be a resounding no, because typically your care is only about temporal, immediate satisfaction. God's concerned about your eternal well-being. And when you get caught in a trial, you're concerned about your temporal well-being. You don't see the full picture of your eternal life at stake. That means even when bad things happen, God knows better for you than you do. I'll say it again. Even though you disagree, when bad things come your way, God knows better what's for you than you do. That's humbling yourself before God. God, I admit, you know what's better for me than I know what's for me. I mean, if you left it up to Luke, we'd all be eating ice cream every day for every meal. Somebody got to be a taker with me, huh?
As long as you got that pill.
No, we don't need the pill, because right now we're just going with what Luke knows. But that becomes the issue, because every day, every meal is going to lead to health issues. And God knew that before any doctor on earth committed that, because He taught us moderation in what? All things. We don't like listening to God there. Yeah, moderation in all things. Humility, humbling ourselves before God. We recognize He's got great power. But we also are called to recognize this: He cares more about you than you would even know to care about yourself. If you go look in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about, don't worry about tomorrow for the things you shall eat, the things you shall put on. He knows what you need. Look at the flowers of the field. He cares for them. Look at the birds of the air. He cares for them. Jesus goes on to teach, which one of you parents, your kid asked for food and you'd give him a rock? He asks for water and you give him a serpent. If you being good, in other words, if good parents know that if my kid's hungry, you give him food. If he's thirsty, you give him water. If you being good know how to give good gifts, how much more does He, you? He's arguing from lesser to greater. If parents do what's right for their kids, how much more will He do what's right for His kids? And you can't doubt that. Oh, you can. We do. That's the source of our anxiety and frustration. Because I think I'm better able to diagnose my situation than He is. Even if you look back up, younger submit to the elder. They're crazy. But that's what He says. And I can do that if I submit to Him. Because then you're trusting Him to use them to guide you correctly. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. If you think you're concerned about your eternity, know this: He was so moved by your need for eternal salvation that He sent His only Son to die in your place for your sins, that by His righteousness you might be made whole. He did that for you. He did that for us. He cares for you. And humility means I'm going to take a step back and quit looking in the mirror, and I'm going to look up and say, I trust your care over me more than I can my concerns. And if I cast my care on Him, I quit worrying, because I know He cares for me. As John writes, He loves me, and if I understand His love, it casts out all my fear. I'm not trying to gain power then. How worried was Jesus before Pilate? How worried was Jesus before Herod? Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to condemn you or to set you free?" And Jesus' response was, "You have no authority over me unless it's been given from above." That's powerful. Okay. Would you quit griping about your spouse then? Would you quit fighting against them for power? Would you quit fighting against them for control? Would you simply submit to God? We can say it this way. Husband, you're supposed to be loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm married to. Husband, you're supposed to be loving your wife as Christ loved the church. You're supposed to be treating her as a weaker, as a more fragile, as a more delicate individual. Wives, unequivocally, you're supposed to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Yeah, but if you knew what I was married to, oh, we know, you've told us 1,000 times. We laugh because it's true. Oh, the things that run through Brother Luke's brain. I don't mean to set any of your minds off, but I can remember an old Hank Williams Jr. song. It was an attitude adjustment. She called the cops to take me in. I said, "You're never going to do it, friend." They just smiled and said, "Oh, yes, we will." With some sticks to the head and some kicks to the shin and several bites by Ren 10-10, I couldn't wait to get into that jail. Man, it's been a long time since I've ever even heard that song. I can still remember that. They just smiled and said, "Oh, yes, we will." It's not a very spiritual song, but there's a lot of truth in there. God's going to ultimately have His way, no matter whether you're kicking and screaming or you're submitting. But because He cares for you, and because His love for you, when you submit and trust to Him, His power is going to give you everything you need, supply all of your needs according to His abundant riches and glory. If you will but trust Him. Yeah, but if I submit to the boss, he's going to think I'm weak. Well, go be your own boss then. But don't bring in disharmony to the workforce because you don't have the ability to do what you're told. Even in the military, you've got to submit to the greater up the chain. It's built in. Let's boil it down. All of that aside, there is no one with more power than our God. There is no one that cares for you or loves you more. A general may not want to put you in a bad place, but there is no one that's more concerned about your life than the Lord. Why can't you cast all of your concern then upon Him? Trust Him. Depend upon Him with all of your anxiety. Just that initial, not how it fans out, the initial desire that you've got to be in control. Lord, I'm happy to let you be. And then trust Him, knowing He cares for me and He loves me. Humility gains spiritual blessing. Humility gives away anxiety. Humility trusts in God's care. And all we have to do is humble ourselves before the Lord. That's it. Just humble yourself before the Lord. Say it this way. Lord, I can't. I trust You can. Lord, this is not how I would do it, but I trust that You know better than I do. It's submitting and humbling yourself before Him. As we transition into July, entrusting our burdens unto the Lord, let's lay the groundwork. His power prevails, period. What God says He's going to do. That means if you choose to reject Christ, He will separate you from his presence. Just a matter of time. God's power prevails. And sometimes we want it to prevail in our circumstances, but we've got to depend then upon his care. That he does care for me more than I care for me, and I can trust in that care. Therefore, his power will be revealed in due time, when it's appropriate. Not according to my timetable, but on his. And odds are, if there's a lot of tension in your relationship at home, it's probably because you got tension between you and God. I'll quit. Let's pray.